If you're just tuning in, as you know, this is the Measure of an Episode, where it is our continuing mission to explore...
wait. If you're just tuning in, as you know, how would they know if they were just tuning in?
Well, because they're tuning... Oh, they're like, oh, it's a Measure of an Episode. I'm going to start this episode.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Continue.
Speaking of continue, it is our continuing mission to explore what makes Star Trek proper Star Trek, and not just Voyager roasting. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Paul, and... The criteria by which we judge these episodes, number one, is there science fiction inherent to the plot? Number two, is that science fiction unique or novel in some way? And number three, is there a moral or ethical dilemma in the episode? I'm Paul.
And I'm Jonathan. And last week, we lied to you. We even went through the whole blurb only to decide that that's not what we were going to do. This week, we watched Lower Decks, episode one of season four, Tuvix, but not Tuvix. Like was in Voyager, but Tuvix, like the number two. The Cerritos.
And Vix, oh, sorry. After that.
Yeah, and Vix.
Yeah.
So there's one
two
Vic.
And Vix.
And there's two Vix. That would have been great if they do another episode, Tuvix, and it's about Vic Fontaine. That would be fantastic.
So the blurb for this episode is the Cerritos and Sons must assist a caretaker on the voyage of historically significant starship.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could really know what the hell's going on in that one.
No. But it's not like, if you don't know Star Trek, like it's not like the blurb itself is any better. The Cerritos ensigns must assist a caretaker on the voyage of a historically significant starship.
Yeah. It's just words.
Yeah.
It's just words. So it's funny. So I had forgotten that we decided to do Lower Decks because it just came out. Instead of the Picard episode that we're going to watch. And I was kind of excited about watching the Picard episode.
Sure.
Because... You know, Data.
Yeah, and and it's getting better. We've been really excited the last couple episodes. So yeah.
Yeah, but mostly Data. And it's funny, like so the recap came on and it was like, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds of little short snippets of what had happened so far. And then it fades to black. And then it goes, last week on Picard. And now they have fucking intros to the recaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have to tease you with a teaser.
Right.
To watch the recaps. Like, don't you want to watch this recap?
Right.
This is a really good recap. It's about 2 to 4 minutes long, but it's worth it.
Oh, I know. And again, they don't know who this is for. Like, if you are going to be watching it, you're either committed and you are going to remember what has happened. Maybe like a brief recap would work. Or...
Well, the 15-second one is fine.
Right.
It was fine. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
Continue.
Right. Or you're streaming it like long after it's passed, in which case you're going to pick up on the next episode anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this was clearly still written by people who are expecting the syndication format / basic cable format where it's aired once a week and maybe people saw it, maybe they didn't. So, yeah,
but you couldn't possibly watch the show not in order.
I know.
It would be silly.
Right. Right. That is what's frustrating about Picard is it seems like they've got too many cooks in the kitchen and the cooks have different ideas on how to make the show.
I think all the cooks are all 80 years old.
Right.
It's like, well, that's not how we did it back in our day.
Totally. Totally.
What's with this? Why isn't the television square? It's always been square.
Why is he Southern? Big.
Yeah. Why is it so big and not square? What's that word, Janet?
Obular.
Why are they Southern, or inferring that they're racist as well somehow?
Because they're, they're rich oil tycoons.
Oh, they're oil people who dabble now in television?
Yep.
We're making way too much money in this oil business. Let's see if we can make marginally more money in the television business. All right, so we talk about Lower Decks then.
I mean, that's what we said we were going to do.
Yeah, okay. So the best part about this show, I figured it out.
Awesome. You cracked the code.
You know how like I like the Shut Up Wesley moments where somebody will make a comment that is really not relevant to the story, but only relevant to the setting kind of in a way? Like there was one Strange New Worlds where they were going to have to take life support offline or something like that, or maybe it was Picard or something, and they wouldn't have suffocated by any means. They would have just frozen to death, most likely. You know, like that kind of detail, that Shut Up Wesley detail.
Right.
I think what I love about Lower Decks is that's all Lower Decks. It's all those details that they just push. Because it's really like comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's comedic situations and details about the Star Trek world and what it would be to operate on a ship.
Yeah.
That you would never have time or care to address in any of the live action shows.
Right.
That's what it is. That to me, that's what it is. That's why I like it. And I love it. Like what I like about it though also is it's not, they're not just using Star Trek to do jokes.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually like plots. They're plot lines now. Didn't I have that complaint last time where I felt like the comedy was
superseded,
trumping?
Yeah.
It was just sort of, let's tell some jokes. Oh, let's have them beaming while they're telling a joke. Mm-hmm. Star Trek.
Yeah, you felt like the plot was just kind of a drape over the jokes that they could tell.
Yeah, it was just kind of background scenery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's not that anymore. Like they have heavily embedded themselves. We know exactly who this show is for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a question that this is for the super nerds,
right?
And us, because we're not super nerds.
Right.
Because I'm sure, like in this particular episode, which I loved, by the way, I love that they affectionately made fun of Voyager.
Yes, know? Yeah. I mean, it was a guy who was a huge Voyager fan and just a huge nerd about everything, and they just start peeling back layers of everything that happened on the ship.
It's so many references.
Mm-hmm.
So many references. Oh, by the way, would you read the blurb one more time? Do you have it handy?
Yeah. The Cerritos ensigns must assist a caretaker on the voyage of a historically significant starship.
Okay, so they said caretaker. And by the way, I thought the caretaker was being played, voiced by Ethan Phillips, who, as you all know, if you're listening to this podcast, played Neelix. And I thought it was him. It was not him.
Right.
I was very disappointed because I was like, oh, I recognize that voice.
Well, yeah. Like I was actually kind of disappointed that I think Michael McKean is still alive, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He had a long stint in Breaking Bad, although that was a while ago. No, not Breaking Bad. Better Call Saul. That was a while ago, though.
Okay. So. Yeah. No. Yeah. It says is.
He's still around.
So he's still alive. So I was really disappointed that the clown and Dr. Chaotica and whoever the other guy was, I forget his name, like that they weren't voiced by their actual actor representations.
I know, it was weird because they looked like they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they would have replaced the voice of the person who played the part.
Yeah.
That was a joke because it was a cartoon.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Sorry. You're right.
Damn it, Jonathan.
Sorry.
You know how long I worked on that joke?
That felt pretty off the cuff.
Do you know how hard it was to like direct you into making that comment so I could then make the comment?
Right.
Nobody appreciates me. Anyway, so the blurb says caretaker, and that can't be an accident, right?
Maybe, but there's also no reference to the caretaker. So
I mean, it's a giant reference show, though. Like, I feel like the fact that they use the word caretaker in the blurb and that there is that was the first... That was the pilot. Wasn't that the pilot? The caretaker?
Yeah. Or other? Yeah, totally. But I'm also picturing like, they're like, so what are we going to call this guy? Well, he's the caretaker. I know, but we can't use that word because it's going to reference the pilot episode. We need a different word. And like, caretaker's like, the best one.
No, they're like, did you just hear what you said? Like, we're making a reference show. And you don't, like, you have another reference you can put in there by accident.
Right.
You're fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like every single reference, I'm sure I missed a ton of them, but this was jam-packed with stuff about Voyager. My, you know, I like this one. This is my guilty pleasure.
Lower Decks in general or this episode? Most.
No, Voyager.
Oh, Voyager. Gotcha.
Yeah, and I should get all of them.
Well, and so for that reason, it kind of feels like the Barbie movie. I don't know if you've seen it or not yet, but like their advertising campaign was, if you love Barbie, this movie's for you. If you hate Barbie, this movie's for you. And like this episode kind of felt like that in general. I mean, obviously they were highlighting the whole Tuvix debate that is still going on. But also just...
Is it a debate? Or are they just right that Janeway murdered her? They never really came down morally on... I mean, they inferred that it was bad that they murdered Tuvix. But they never really say that that was the worst decision to make.
Right.
They never really say... They never really comment on that in this show.
To Nal, to whatever her name is, she was kind of commenting on, you know, it means nothing to me. Like, they were one being, or they were two beings. They should go back to being two beings.
Yeah, but that's jumping over the fact that in order to do that, you had to essentially eliminate a third being.
Right.
Right? So that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. But it's about consent, and it's about, like, you know, whether or not they... It's kind of the trolley, you know, paradox. Like, do you take one life to save two?
I think the answer is yes.
I mean, clearly that's where Voyager landed.
Well, look at it this way, though. In terms of the dilemma of what should have Janeway done, she made the selfish choice, ultimately, because what you could have looked at, Neelix and Tuvok, they were killed in a accident, mm-hmm. in a transporter accident.
Mm-hmm.
End. Done. Right?
Yeah.
They are dead now. You have this other person who resembles both of them, very comedically, by accident, right. But very comedically. And so, but you now have this third person. It was sort of a kill to get one free. But they should have looked at it. But that's an argument for, it's not just about, oh, we can get them back because they're our friends, mm-hmm. and they were dead, now they're not. Like, or they never really considered them dead, I guess. That is the dilemma. And that's the argument. And nobody really made that argument, I think, in the Voyager episode or in this episode. They kind of wrote themselves out of having to come down on anything particularly hard to, you know, in terms of a moral decision, because they just made them in bad guys and then they made them into a giant, like, blob.
Right. Yeah. Like, it was much easier to separate them out because that was no longer a sentient being. I mean, Tendi even said so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I mean, that's a valid argument of Tuvok and Neelix are dead now.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time with transporters.
Right.
I don't know about all the time. Maybe I shouldn't say that because I don't want to put people off transporting. But the point is that...
It's still the safest way to travel, statistically speaking.
Yeah. But they have a new person. And that new person, I mean, thank God, at least in some way, doesn't detract from the crew, has both skills in some way. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
Like, Tuvix could, like, kind of do both things to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what an interesting way to have, like, a season. Have Tuvix be there. Like the Pulowski of Voyager.
Right. Totally. Give it more weight when they have the opportunity again. Like, they finally figure it out.
And they figure out a way to save Tuvix and Tuvok and Neelix. You know, like, be a happy ending. Like, we're not going to... They kind of like, well, the episode's got to end soon, so...
I think it should be a very dark ending where they do make a choice where it is one or the other. I don't care which one, but they do something where they're able to go into Tuvix's brain synapses and actually talk to Tom and Neelix, you know, and they say, like, they miss their lives.
Tuvok and Neelix.
Yeah, what did I say?
Tom.
Oh, sorry, Tuvok and Neelix, yeah.
That'd be fine, too. I feel like if you merged with Tom Paris, you would just kind of get the other person that they merged with. Tom Paris is so vanilla.
Right.
That it's like, is that Tom? I don't know. He's just kind of a guy, you know?
Right. Maybe the emotions are a little bit more elevated, but not really anything to notice one way or the other.
He feels the sudden urge to shoplift, you know, sometimes.
the other thing, too, going back to the episode that I, like, really loved that they didn't really say anything about, but every person when they merged, they had, like, the Tuvix swirl fabric pattern on.
Yeah. I thought that was more the cat, whoever the cat doctor was, whose name I don't remember.
I thought so too, until they started doing it with all the other mergings.
Right. I like that it just became a thing that they could do. If they just put a petal, a leaf in there, and it's just,
right.
It's easy as that. I don't remember that from the Voyager episode. I thought it was just some sort of freak accident.
Oh yeah, no, it was because they transported with that plant, That was a hybrid.
Whatever happened to the plant? Nobody cares about the plant.
Nobody cares about the plant. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing that I don't remember them resolving was the Borg nanites, like, spreading through the ship.
So I thought there was only one, and it embedded itself in the, whatever, the animatronic devolved Janeway was, that little beast thing. But they pulled it off, and that was the end of it. We don't know what they did.
Okay.
But it is interesting. Could that nanite embed itself in a human and continue to work?
Well, it was on the macrovirus as well in Seven's Borg chamber.
Oh, that's true.
So
yeah, that's a creepy little episode of Voyager. Those macroviruses, those always creep me out because it has those little stinger things that like move. It's gross.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Right.
Good stuff. That's as close as Voyager ever got to that episode in the first season of Next Gen where
conspiracy.
Yeah, where yeah. It's all of a sudden this weird body horror alien thing out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Yeah.
Out of nowhere, and then it never happens again.
Right.
Ever. Anything like that.
Yep. And it ends on a super suspenseful cliffhanger. You know, it was a beacon calling out into deep space.
But they always do that, so that's not really, you know, out of the norm, out of the usual. So, out of the usual. So I have to ask, did you recognize all of the Voyager theme quotes they did in the show?
The Voyager theme quotes, elaborate?
Like the music?
Probably not.
Okay. I thought it was nice that they did that. I thought it was nice that they, you know, it was homage a bit. Like it wasn't just let's make fun of Voyager, although there were a couple of snide comments. Like, how are we going to fix this problem? This is terrible. And someone else says, well, we're going to figure out a kooky way to do it, just like Voyager was.
Right. You know? Yep.
Was it kooky? Like,
quirky.
Kooky? Oh, quirky?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess they were quirky. I mean, it wasn't, I didn't feel like Voyager was quirky. It was just maybe campy is a better word.
Right. We've already talked about this, but they just leaned into the technobabble, basically making it magic. Like they didn't really do the analogy for like a whatever. And they just said, maybe if we.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Maybe we should just watch Voyager.
I mean, it would be kind of fun to like watch these episodes and see if there That's were true. Any other That'd deep cuts that we missed.
I mean, did you catch everything, do you think?
Given the show, I don't think so. Obviously there were the ones that were in your face, but I would suspect. I mean, one thing that I did like was the Ensign costume was on an Ensign Kim mannequin.
Yeah, the only way we could see that is because of the hair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep. But it was so good.
It was great. Yeah, I was kept on looking in the background to see if there was anything. Like, I'm not, even though I like Voyager, I'm not a Voyager file.
Right.
So I wouldn't be good at that to just see, oh, there's that thing from that one episode when what's her name did this. But I felt like, do I want to be that? Like, I feel like. I do wish that I could just catch everything like that, but that would mean I would have to have watched Voyager like several times all the way through.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I mean, and when you say several times through, I mean frequently enough that you're catching new things each time you watch it. And like, I don't. This is horrible. Not even gonna say it. Never mind.
Was it racist or something?
No, I'll tell you outside of the podcast.
Okay. You sure you don't want to say it?
I'm positive. Yep.
I can put, you know, I won't put it in. I promise.
I don't know how true your promises are. Like, I tell my girls I don't promise unless I can commit to it.
Well, you can't see my fingers right now. That's the loophole.
Pretzeled right? up.
Yeah. Like Strenning.
Oh.
Okay, so I looked when I was trying to figure out if the curator on Lower Decks, the curator of the Voyager Museum exhibit, was actually Ethan Phillips. Mm-hmm. I saw that Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis are in this episode as their voices, and it wasn't that thing. I don't remember them being in it at all. Obviously, they were not featured.
Right?
Do you remember them being in the show?
Not in this episode.
Yeah, me neither. And so I wonder, is this a thing where they were in, it was such a small little reference that it was like a recording playing in the background of something, you know? Or is it that they were in there and it got cut out or something like that. But they have to put them in there because of SAG or whatever.
Right. You know? I almost feel like it's that one, but at the same time, again, being Lower Decks, like I could totally see them having just some kind of scene replay. But Marina Sirtis was never on Voyager, right?
Neither was Jonathan Frakes.
No, no, no. Yeah, Jonathan Frakes was. He was in an episode.
They brought up Q, brought yeah, over or something. Yeah,
and
like that.
And
that's stupid.
Marina Sirtis was on with Barkley.
You get the impression that because now there are they were a couple on the show that must have something to do with why they're on. It can't be that they were on the show separately because of their separate appearances on Voyager. It can't be. So I want to know. And I quickly Googled it to see if there was a quick answer. And apparently Frakes is directing the crossover of Strange New Worlds. And so that's all I saw.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, well, I simultaneously didn't get the answer I was looking for and spoiled a detail for the episode that's upcoming. Great.
I mean, he's not in it. He just directed it.
No, but that would have been an interesting thing to talk about that we just spoiled onto the podcast.
I don't really have a lot to say about this episode other than it was great, and I think that was proper Star Trek.
Yeah. Okay, so I have one little detail that they could have done that would have been so interesting. This whole concept of them being merged together with people and then split apart later, I feel like that's a super interesting character thing to do long term, where there are little bits, little remnants of DNA that get left in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these little, kind of like with with Tom Paris, where I said with shoplifting occasionally. I don't even know why I said that. I think because he was in jail.
Right.
But he wasn't in jail for shoplifting.
No.
What was he in jail for? I don't remember. I think it was he stole a ship or something, or he defied orders or something like that.
It's kind of both, yeah.
Okay. So I felt like that would be interesting to do. Because like, oh, I'm having this urge for chocolate ice cream, you know, if somebody merged with Marina Sirtis or whatever. And I guess it wouldn't have been that interesting on Voyager because they didn't have a lot of, it was quasi-serialized, but not really, you know, at the end of the, even though they were stranded with very little resources, they still had a very wonderful ship to live on and holodecks and everything. And Lower Decks, I guess you wouldn't do that. I guess that Lower Decks is the place to do that because you can make little references and it not, they don't have to spend time on it. It's just boom, 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 you know?
Well, that and also being animated, like you can just draw the character a little different too.
Right. Yeah, I just thought it'd be interesting to have them like be a little shorter or have them try to put on a shirt and it's like doesn't fit, you know? That'd be cool, right?
Right, and it's entirely possible because they do have things that seem to be throwaway moments where they're dwelled on, I guess. No, they're not highlighted either. They're referenced again later on, and it becomes kind of a deeper character moment than was originally expected.
Or it gives you, as a person, more insight to the person who you were merged with.
Right. Oh, for sure.
That could be a very interesting, like, I know why you're feeling this.
Right.
Because I used to be in you.
When I was inside you, right.
Yeah, when I was inside you, we shared something. And so, I don't know, it just struck me as like, oh, wouldn't that be interesting if they explored that.
The fact that you just said that, I can almost guarantee that they will.
Like,
because there are things that happened with the Bajoran security guard and the cat that, again, was like a throwaway moment a season and a half ago, and it has become part of their character.
Right, right. Okay, well, good.
Yeah.
You know, I'll have to call them then. They're just going to do it.
Right? Yeah, you don't need to send them an email reminding them that you're William Shatner's son.
Right. Okay, so there's this whole underlying thing that's happening in both episodes that have been released, where apparently Boba Fett is flying around the galaxy and attacking people. Is it supposed to look like Boba Fett's his ship? Or
again, it's one of the, like it's too obvious to say no.
It's the same shape,
right?
Or whatever, the Mandalorian. It doesn't have to be Boba Fett, but like the Mandalorian ship or whatever. Like it's the same shape. But it can't, like, that's they got it wrong. Like, the wrong unit.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I am curious what's going to happen because they've opened now two episodes. It'd be great if they just got through all the 10 episodes and opened each, or open and closed each episode with that ship just killing people and that's all that happens.
Right.
Is that some sort of reference that I'm not getting to something in the past of Star Trek that I thought it was going to be from whatever episode in Next Gen where it was a ship, but it was organic. It was a being.
Mm-hmm. With like the psychic, or not the psychic, but the telepath.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be something like that, where it was that was making an appearance, but obviously it wasn't.
Right. No, I think it's not Peanut Butter Falcon. What was her name?
Oh, you mean the little, what's it called?
Yeah.
From.
Oh, we're doing great.
That's why people come into the show. Right. Start the T. Atella.
Comp.
Compy. It's a, no, that's a dinosaur. The question is, will this make it onto the podcast? We don't know. Comp.
Well, and her name is like Peanut Hamper or something like that.
Telecomp? Come on, Jonathan.
Exocomp.
Yeah, there we go. Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
And we thought of it together.
Right. Yep. Couldn't have done it without you. but yeah, Peanut Hamper. And I haven't seen the episode yet, or we haven't seen the episode yet, but the Jeffrey Combs as an AI device as well, like when they were sitting next to each other in whatever jail they were in. I'm going to guess that somehow those two are involved in that ship.
Oh, nice. That's good, because I totally forgot everything. I should go back and rewatch third season, because I honestly remember opening it up the fourth season. I was like, I have no idea what happened.
Right.
Like, I don't remember. Even though we did a whole podcast on it, every single episode, I have no memory of anything that happened.
Did we do all of season three?
I think we did, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Again, this is why people come here.
Right.
It's our dedication.
Yep.
To the Star Trek
and our
universe.
Encyclopedic memory of these things.
Yeah. So there's something else I wanted to say, and I just totally lost my train of thought. My train of thought is just not, it's like not a train, it's just the caboose. Or I left it. I left the train.
It's just all the cars, they're just not connected. So.
Yeah. It's like the ending of Back to the Future 3, where they left all the cars behind.
Right? Yeah. One of the things that like really bothers me about Lower Decks in general is like they're so good at creating characters, like little, you know, background characters, like the Klingons. You know, like I really enjoyed those scenes with the Klingons, and I'm sad that like they got blown up and we're never going to see them again.
Yeah. I thought for a second that, I mean, we saw the wreckage afterward, but I thought for a second they were going to be not destroyed, but something else was happening to them.
Yes.
But that's not what happened, because they've now ended, I think, both episodes with wreckage just floating through space.
Well, they ended one and started the other, but yeah.
Right. Oh, this whole idea of the holodeck waste removal.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a room made entirely of holograms, there's really only one thing that the waste can be, right?
I bodily fluids, but yeah.
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 One in particular. But I feel like, what else would there be? I mean, they made it seem like it was toxic waste because it was all glow and green and that kind of thing.
Right. I believe that it's toxic because it's like over aggressively sanitized. So like that's still going to hurt him, but only in the same way that like bleach is going to hurt him.
Okay. I mean, I think it's funny that that's a thing. I mean, they were obviously alluding to what the waste would be,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were like, oh, the holodeck generates waste from whatever, energy consumption or something like that. That's not what they meant, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's people waste.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, it's gross because like the way I understand the holodeck to work is it's, you know, refracted light in and presented in such a way that it pushes against you and feels like matter. But once those lights turn off, those receptacles of fluids are no longer a thing.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's gross.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe those containers, like when you've used those receptacles, it manages to dispel of whatever fluids were there, and put it off to the side before you end the program. Unless, well, you know, you like immediately throw up and they're like, computer, end program.
That's the prank that happens.
Yeah.
But what doesn't make sense, though, is that they have the ability to break matter down into energy immediately, you know, a la the food replicators. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't that just happen? If it was something that you knew that the computer knew you didn't want back, Maybe it doesn't want to make that assumption. Maybe it thinks, well, maybe he wants it back.
Right. I mean, yeah, maybe that's just the computer's, you know, until we end the program, this stays here.
Maybe there's like a checkbox, like, you know, when you want to close a file you've been working on, it says, do you want to save the file you've been working on? Same thing here. Before you leave the holodeck, it says, would you like to leave whatever you left in the room?
Right.
Or do you want to keep it?
Yeah.
And then it gives you a little baggie.
Gross.
If you say yes.
Gross.
I'm just saying, you know.
Was there a Voyager episode where they were on the holodeck? Like they found out that they had been on the holodeck for months or weeks or something?
Yeah, I think what that was, the Hirogen were using their holodecks to hunt them, and they were using real people, and they used the holodecks to do that. And I don't know if they didn't know they were on the holodeck. Oh, you know what you never did in the last episode?
No.
You never told me what your favorite moment was of the Strange New Worlds thing. Like, that's a thing now.
Yeah, but you got to ask me then.
I know. You don't have to tell me now. But you have to tell me now about what it is for this one. I just told you mine. Oh, unless it's the same one as mine.
It is.
Which is the obvious choice.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just what's going to be. Like, it'll be like, what's your favorite? Yeah, that's mine too.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right. But that's it. I'm very curious about the Boba Fett ship. I think you're dead on in that it's going to be something, have something to do with the exocomp in some way.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. But this is not a Star Trek or a genuine Star Trek episode. It's not.
Right.
Like, was it?
No, I think it was.
You think it was?
Yeah.
What was the dilemma? What was the,
Boimler, he was like super anxious about how, like, they didn't talk about it at all, but he was off his game because he was so distracted by his possible promotion and how he didn't want to take it, even though it was basically a lock.
Oh, which is funny because that's exactly the same plot line of next week's episode that we've already watched, that everybody's already watched.
Right. I mean, yeah, slight variation. Like, Rutherford is actually trying to get his promotion.
All right. That makes sense. I'll allow it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right, so next week, or in 15 minutes, we're watching Lower Decks Season 4, Episode 2, I Have No Bones, Yet I Must Flee.
Which is a line from, it's the title of a short story, I Have No Mouth, Yet I Must Scream.
Oh, how'd you know that?
Do you just
know that?
Yeah, that one I just knew. Let me rephrase that. I knew the phrase and I knew it was familiar. I couldn't remember what the original was.
Although it does feel like you could put anything in that format of, I have no blank, yet I must blank.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I am not blank, yet I am blank.
Right.
Shakespeare is a hack. All right. I've been Paul.
I did it last time. I've been Paul. I've been Jonathan.
And I've been Jonathan.
And this has been The Measure of an Episode.
Oh, this is the one where I can go like, but you already knew that. And it could like be anybody.